Hi, everyone, and welcome to another 10K Saturday. This week, Allison is sitting down with photographer Noe Lozano, and they have a really, really beautiful conversation about parenting, social media, art, point of view, and responsibility. I think you'll really enjoy it. Now, this week, we are featuring Curator. You get a new box of curated fashion accessories every single season. It's luxury beauty products, so many things. You can actually even check out our unboxing videos on our website, 10kdollarday.com. Just look for the videos. You can go to 10kdollarday.com/curator for some discount codes, too. That sounds good, right? See you there.
And now it's 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Saturday episode of 10K Dollar Day. If you're looking for our full episodes, those drop on Wednesdays, and they're all about imaginary luxury travel. But you found us today, and that means we're interviewing another amazing human. And today, that person is professional photographer Noe Lozano. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, Noe, you're one of those people in my life that I feel like I know you through so many other people, but I don't think that we've actually ever met.
No, we haven't, oddly enough. I know you through Chris, of course, mm-hmm. And then through West Florida Dance Center, but we've never met in person. So it's always very tertiary.
Yeah, I follow you on your Instagram, and I've seen all the amazing pictures that you've taken of so many of my students and friends and coworkers, and always just kind of been a fan from behind the scenes. And so I made a wish list at the beginning of the pandemic of all the people that I would love to interview, and you were on it, my friend.
Well, thank you. I sincerely appreciate that. Like, I'm fairly low-key, and it's interesting because I like my photography and I push out my work, but, and like, I want it to be seen in a certain way or aspect, but like, I joke around half the time and it's not that serious. Yeah. but I do appreciate your kind words.
Absolutely. Where are you right now? Where are you living?
I'm in New Mexico, in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, Farmington, which is about an hour south of Durango, Colorado, which is probably more well known. It's the Four Corners area. It's an interesting little spot. I didn't choose to come here, but my wife, she runs the Sam's Club here. So pretty much it's just a matter of where she goes, I go, and I'll make it work where I have to make it work.
I love that. We actually just did a tour, our podcast tour in October. We did a 3-week tour across America where we took our podcast into people's driveways for the pandemic, our listeners. We went through some of Utah, Colorado, a little bit of New Mexico. And I had actually never seen the Southwest in that capacity. It's gorgeous. Like,
it is until you're here for more than you want to be. And then it just becomes, oh, there's another rock. Oh, there's another rock. And there's a big red rock there. Okay, that's cool. It is nice. Like, whenever we first came here, I was like just amazed by the scenery. And, you know, I'm originally from Texas, spent some time in Georgia, and then you know me from Florida, and then we came out here. So the scenery was very different from, you know, Texas flat, Georgia, somewhat flat, Florida, stupid flat. And then you see all these cliffs and mountains and just beautiful canyons. And you're just like, wow. But yeah, for 6 months, I was like, oh my God. And then I was like hitting every single spot that I could think of, photographing it, shooting it, trying to meet so many people, getting acquainted with like the Navajo Nation area. Just really out there exploring as much as possible. And then, like I said, after 6 months, I'm just like, okay, this is cool. Okay, what else can I see? So I feel like I almost just gave myself too much because I just went crazy where I was seeing spots where even like the natives of the area, like not so much the indigenous people, but actually local natives of the area that live in Farmington, they're like, oh, I don't even know where that's at. Where is that? And then even then, so I hit some spots where some of the natives, the actual indigenous natives, were like, oh, I've never been to that spot, but that's cool. So like I was just like hitting every single spot that I could think of, finding like secret waterfalls that only the natives know about, and like just going everywhere possible. And just like really exploring it. But like I said, I think I did too much too fast, where I'm just like sugar rush overload. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I kind of missed the beach a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I definitely missed the beach even while we were traveling. So I can only imagine, you know, not seeing it all the time. So I know you grew up in a family of artists. So where did your photography passion stem from? Was it something specific that you remember happening?
So when I was younger, I don't know if you remember the little 110 millimeter, like the little rectangle cameras. Like they were, there's like a weird little cartridge that kind of looked like, it wasn't your regular film roll, but it was like a weird little like cassette tape cartridge kind of thing. You'd pop that into your camera, and it was like all these like little toy cameras. And I would always carry one around. And in my head, I'd visualize these scenes and like, oh, that'd be a cool shot. And like just like walking around and exploring. And that's pretty much the earliest that I can think of. But the artists in my family were all illustrative painters, things of that nature, and musicians. But I didn't have the patience for that. So I didn't have the patience for learning music. I didn't have the patience to like sit down and draw. I used to draw well when I was younger, but I never like pushed it further where I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. From there, it was just a matter of like getting little digital cameras after that, and then little small point and shoots when those started being the thing. And then the first legit pro camera was the one that my wife got me, and she got it for me when we were in Augusta, Georgia, around 8 years ago now, 8 to 9 years ago. And she was like, are you actually going to use it? I was like, yeah. And then she asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I was like, I think I want this camera. She's like, are you going to use it? And this was at the time when I was doing music, but I was doing like hip hop, rap, making beats, and actually have an album like on iTunes and Spotify and this and that, which nobody knows about. And I don't reveal it, but that's when I was doing music. And then she's like, why do you want this? Like, are you actually going to use it? And I was like, yes, I will. And then like a month later, I got my first gig that paid off pretty much the price of the camera. And now I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like yeah. I can actually make something with this. And then I just started pursuing it from there. So, I mean, it's really from early, probably 8 years old. I remember going to visit my family in Culver City, California. And I had my little point and shoot, and I was just, you know, exploring the area, kind of doing street photography, but not knowing what street photography was at that age. I was just kind of like, this is cool. Let me take a shot of that.
Yeah.
And just, that's pretty much the earliest that I can think of.
Yeah. And you have a very specific style to all of your photography, whether it's a human being or a place or a building, a structure. Do you have a favorite model? Like, would you rather take pictures of people or structures, or do you just love it all? Do you find different highs in each kind of piece?
My main love is portrait photography. So people generally, but I can kind of, you know, segue that into like a portrait of a building or a portrait of a place. So I can kind of get away with doing that, but mainly I like working with people. When I was in high school, I would have teachers that would tell me that I should become a psychologist. And because I was always talking to different people, and like I was kind of like the floater in high school, where I was cool with the goth kids, I was cool with the thugs, I was cool with the preps, and just like cool with every single like little you know, posse or whatever you want to call it. But everyone would just talk to me, and like they reveal a lot of stuff to me. And the same thing happens in the portrait session. They just reveal so much to me. But I kind of took that aspect of psychology and like getting to know somebody, and I use that for my portrait photography. which is why you get to see like some, in my opinion, at least, you see some of these portraits where there's just, they evoke an emotion where it's just like very like still, but also like mm-hmm. you can see something to them.
Yeah.
And that's really my joy. I'm kind of, you know, with this whole COVID situation and just trying to be safe and, you know, safe for them and safe for my family, safe for my daughter, and just trying not to be out there like that with people. But I'm kind of switching things up a little bit. So we're come the new year, there might be something different that you might be seeing on my page.
So ooh, I like that.
We'll see where
teaser.
That goes.
That's nice. I like that a lot. Do you have a favorite photo that you've taken? Like, can you think of one that you're like, this is the photo? Or do they kind
of change?
The thing. Do they kind of rotate?
My thought process on that is that if you do have that favorite photo, you're going to be stuck with that. Like, you're not going to be able to get better. And the thing is, I'll feel myself. Like, I won't lie. Like, I'll take a shot and then, like, I release it and this is what it is. And, like, I love it. And I'm, like, really, like, gassed up about it. Where I'm like, yes, this is amazing. This is, like, I'm the shit. Like, to be honest, like, I'll feel that.
Yeah.
But it won't last very long, honestly. It'll last, you know, maybe a day or two. And then I'm just like, all right, let's get better. Like, I feel like you have to be that way. Like, you have to hate your work. You can be gassed up for a little bit and enjoy it, but you eventually have to hate your work to become better. That's why you see a lot of cats, like older cats, where you see their stuff and it looks the same way that it did in 1999. And, you know, but it's not in like the classical sense of like, oh, that's a classic shot. It's not going to change. It's right. A very dated look. So I feel like you have to constantly change, constantly get better. And that's, for me personally, that's what I have to do. And that's kind of why you're going to see a transition in the next few months of what's going to happen with my work. But, you know, I still love portraiture and there are some like images that are still mine. I still have some images in my portfolio that I've took probably 6 years ago and they're still in there. I won't say that they're my favorite, but they're still in there and they still can pass the time and still look as good as what I'm creating now. So,
yeah. So I know you probably have a dozen, probably more, just hundreds of tips that you could give, you know, budding photographers out there. But when it comes to the portraits that you're taking, the people that you are capturing, do you have any tips for people that feel like they are terrible behind the camera? I know I have a 15-year-old daughter. She feels that way. She's always like, oh, I hate taking pictures. Like, what's kind of, how do you navigate that if you have someone come in who's just like really nervous? Is there a trick that you kind of pull on them to get out the best?
Well, one, I blame social media for that feeling, especially with the younger generation. Like, it's just that constant comparison to other girls, other guys. Social media like really has messed things up. Like, if you really want to go deep on that, it's really messed up, you know, the self-confidence of these people. And it's really sad. Like, my daughter's gonna be 3 in a few months, and it's just the type of thing where it's like, I hope this isn't an issue when she gets older. Like, it's just really, it sucks. I mean, you and I both know the 2 girls that we've lost recently. Mm-hmm. And the one that did, you know, they haven't released the details on it, but, you know, she had incidences where her self-esteem wasn't the greatest. And,
right.
You know, this pushed it further. And if it wasn't for social media, would she feel that way? If it wasn't for that, right. Constantly seeing that, you know, that FOMO, that fear of missing out aspect, would she still be here? I don't know. I think about that a lot.
Yeah.
But as far as like just trying to get people out of their like, you know, get them comfortable, I can be super silly And it'd be silly in the aspect of like, I constantly have like, I'm like, shake it out. And then like, I'm like, literally just shake it out. And I'll shake it out in front of them, like just shake my whole body. I'm like, just breathe, relax, shake it out, you know, get lost for a moment. Because honestly, like the portraits, a good majority of the portraits that you see and that evoke like an emotion are those, the shots in between the shots where if they're thinking about it, you can tell that they're thinking about it. But if I can get them to relax and just look at me, I'm a big fan of like eye contact. So if I can get that eye contact in that split second, if I can get that shot where it showcases like, okay, this is them, natural them. Like that's my favorite aspect, where it's just like that's a moment where they're kind of lost in thought in a little bit. And then I'll even show it to them and they're like, oh yeah, that is good. Like they, that constant thinking behind it, like, oh, I have to do this. What do I do with my hands? What do I do with this? It's really just get them out of their head for a little bit. And like I say, breathe so much during a session. Like I have it tattooed on my hand so they can see it during the session. Oh, where it's like, just breathe. That. And relax and like just be yourself. That's really it.
Yeah.
So just try to get them to be themselves. Like photograph them. Don't photograph them being a character. And I use the same thing for like the dancers that you know. I've shot them. I'm like, even when I'm shooting them as dancers, I'm like, it's a portrait of you in dance wear, but not necessarily a portrait of you being a dancer. Like I still want a portrait of you. So yeah, just get them to be them. That's it.
Yeah, I love that. Well, it comes through in all of your photos because every shot that I've ever seen you post, that I've ever seen someone else post where, you know, they're giving you the credit, they're always really gorgeous. And I feel like they capture the essence of that person. So capturing that breath that they have is really effective. I think it's gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
I also love, and you actually, I bring this up because you were very transparent about this on your own social media, that you do take nudes, and you had a young person reach out to you who was turning 18 and she was looking to take nudes, and you were very upfront and you posted your response to her. And I was so impressed with the way that A, you handled the situation, and B, that you were showing the rest of the photography world what it should be like and what the standard should be. And just to kind of catch our listeners up, there was, you know, someone who reached out to you and said, I'm turning 18. I've seen your nudes and I would love to get shot. And your, you know, response to them was that shooting nude is a really big decision, and that because you're turning 18, that you're not comfortable with that. She needs time to think about it. She needs time to kind of come into herself. And then then you warned her, if there is someone out there who's willing to do this, please bring someone with you and be safe. Do you find that, is that a hard stance to take, or does that empower you, or does that worry you? I know you said you have a 3-year-old, or do you feel like that's just the ignorance of someone who sees the pictures and doesn't quite understand what kind of responsibility comes with that?
I guess I could say that it's, you know, because I have a young daughter, and like it would be a different situation that when she gets of age and if she wants to do that, of course, me being the father, I'm like, I'm going to feel one way, but also me being someone that shoots nudes, and it's going to be like, well, there's only so much that I could say. Like, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And it's with everything that I think about her growing up, like I can't be a hypocrite, and I don't ever want to be. So with that in mind, it really is a matter of she needs to realize the depth behind it. It's not just a nude, here I am, I'm hot, I'm 18, take a photo of me. And that's kind of goes into the whole social media aspect, because I guarantee she sees a bunch of models that are doing the same thing, that are taking nude shots. And that's fine. There's nothing against nude photography. It's a matter of one, presentation, and the content behind it. So it's, you can take a nude shot and ruin it just by like just the caption alone. If you just insinuate something odd or strange and just like just creepy and weird, like you just ruin that shot. If let's say if I were to shoot her and I were to say, oh yeah, freshly 18, now what the like what? Yeah, like you just ruined absolutely. It. Like that's unneeded, unnecessary. Just we crossed into a line that didn't need to be crossed. So I mean really it's a matter of one, she just needs to understand how deep that goes. Because once the photos are out there, they're out there. Let's say if she did take the shots and then 6 months down the road, she's like, I'm not happy with them. We can go into the aspect of, okay, well, one, I understand that you're not happy with them. But two, you've now wasted this photographer's time and effort and talent. But also, they're out there. Like if, let's say I shot them and I removed them, I guarantee somebody else has them. Somebody else has them. So it's not as simple as just, okay, let's just get them off the internet. It doesn't work that way, unfortunately.
Right.
But yeah, it's really just, I just wanted her to be safe. I've never shot this girl before. It'd be one thing if I knew her and I knew that she had, you know, she's thought about this for quite some time and, but you know, maybe she was already signed to an agency and like it's just kind of, you know, unfortunately it's sad to say this, but it's kind of the next step whenever you are signed to an agency, oddly enough. But she wasn't signed to an agency. She was your, you know, and not to put her down, but she was like an average, you know, teenage girl just having fun, trying to become a model, but you know, I didn't want her to think that she needed to do this in order to become a model. So I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of things to go like with that, but really it's just a matter of like, I didn't know her. I didn't know the situation. I didn't know how she was really going to feel. I've worked with other girls that, you know, once they do turn 18, 19, they're ready to do that. But like I said, it's something about they've thought about it. We've maybe talked about like if that's what you want to do, are you sure? Like constantly, like with every single session of mine that does go into like a nude session, I do ask them like, are you sure? Are you positive? Are you comfortable?
Right.
Constantly, repetitively, where it's like, it's almost to the point where like, yes, dude, like I'm good. But it's like, I have to be sure because it's you know, it's a big decision and it can't be taken lightly. So. But yeah, I had to put it out there, let people know, not to be like, oh, well, look at me. This is what I'm getting. But very just matter of fact, where it's like, this is what happened. So you guys are aware. So that way, maybe somebody else that is 17 and turning 18, like that's what they want to do. And now they see this and they're like, okay, well, he's got a point. Maybe I don't need to do this. So but the interesting thing about that, her response, red. That's all I got. Just red on Instagram.
Oh, interesting.
No thank you. No nothing. Just kind of like, well, whatever. So, I mean, I did my part. Whatever she wants to do with that, she can do with that.
Yeah. So where did your love of black and white photos come from?
Black and white photography, it's really... it's more shape than anything, like shape.
Okay.
The different values involved, like how white is your white, how dark is your black in there. Things like that. Black and white photography, I haven't shot too much of it, or I haven't really like released too much of it where like I lately, that is. One, because of this area, it's, if let's say if I were to go to shoot a canyon or something, I could make them black and white, but you kind of need to see the colors. You kind of need to see the sky. Yeah. So if there is, in my opinion, if there is color that needs to be seen, then it needs to be color. But if it's black and white, then it's black and white because of the shape or because of like the emotion that it could invoke, where it's, it's not just black and white just to be black and white. So there's a little bit more thought put into it, but it, you know, I go back and forth with it. There's some shots where I'm like kind of black and white or color? Like, which one should I do? So I definitely think about it, but really to me, it's a matter of like the shape and what the emotion could be invoked by it. Because if it's, let's say if I shoot somebody with like really, really beautiful light eyes, if I make it black and white, yeah, I could make it like pop a little bit, but you kind of want to see like those really like baby blue eyes or something. Like to me, yeah, that at that point, that's when it matters. So it really just varies. But, you know, I love both. A lot of people do say, oddly enough, that my black and whites are really strong. I don't see it, but it is interesting when it does come up.
Yeah, that's so funny because it's one of the things that jumps out to me every time I look at your Instagram page. I'm always like, oh, look at that. But it's an important thing. But you're right. It's the simplicity of the person's face, and then
exactly
the simplicity of the color along with that, just the black and white color, I think is what's so striking. And I hope everyone listening goes and follows you on Instagram. You guys can check out the blog that will be posted at 10kdollarday.com/10ksaturday. So check that out. We'll have all of Noe's social media handles and links so that you can check out all of his work. And so now I'm going to jump to our five questions that I cannot wait to hear the answer to. You ready for those?
Let's go.
All right. So our first question is, what is your current obsession?
Current obsession. I think it's this new body of work that I'm working on. And just the whole transition that I'm making. It's not completely off from what I've been doing, but it is different, and it's like I'm just really personally I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna present it, how I'm gonna, you know, make it my own, because it is influenced by this area and kind of like a ton of the Western wear stuff that I've been shooting lately to an extent. Okay. But I want to make it surreal, a little bit odd and weird, but still kind of finished. And I want to make it bigger than it is, like to be blunt about it. I want to make it bigger than it is. My portraits have been fun and I've enjoyed it. I'm still going to shoot portraits, but I'm trying to think about portraits in a different light. Like just instead of just a face, like I want to try to go in a little bit deeper with them.
Yeah.
With not just portraits that I create, but the other like side work that I'm going to create. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be hard to represent, but that's kind of what I've been like thinking about lately, how I'm going to do it, the best way to showcase it. And hopefully it's going to be gallery work where, nice. Not just Instagram, but like full on gallery work where, so we'll see where that goes. Get bogged down with portrait photography and get bogged down with kind of the hustle behind it. Like, oh, I got to make money. And I'm trying to get away from that and just kind of be creative again, where go back to when I first started. And so we'll see where that goes. But yeah, that's really kind of what I've been thinking about a lot lately.
Do you have an ETA on all of that? Or is it just you're kind of letting it happen when it happens? Only because I'm very intrigued, and now I want to see it.
Right now, it's really just kind of jotting things down and getting ideas in place and certain locations in place.
Okay.
But I'm more than likely going to get started on one of the first images this Sunday. So the images haven't even been shot yet. I'm just really thinking about everything, but getting to work on the creation of it this Sunday and see where that goes. See if the concept that I have in mind will actually pan out. But yeah, that's really, hopefully I'll have something to release in the new year and we'll go from there.
Nice. Can't wait. All right. So what's on your wish list?
The wish list would be that I do get a proper gallery showing within at least 3 years. Nice. I'd say at least 3 years. I could probably, I've had some galleries reach out to me from London, but I want it to be not just like a vanity project. Like I want to work with a gallery that's like really, really ready to push it out. So we'll see where that goes, but that would be ideal. We'll just have to see what really, really happens. So the wish list would be a full on proper solo gallery showing.
Ooh, so I we'll love see. That. That's awesome. All right. So this may go hand in hand. Who knows? If you had $10,000 extra money and you had to spend it on yourself, what would you do with it?
Travel. Just okay. Travel. Like it's kind of like a super simple answer, but it's either one, it'd either be travel to like just hit a number of spots, but at the same time, I don't really need like any, I don't want the finished images to be tied down to a specific location. So it'd probably be a camera. If I can go back on that, it'd probably be a camera, and then I'd make everything else work. It'd be probably that's like a digital medium format camera. Some Hasselblad or something, just stupid big and unnecessary but perfect for fine artwork. So it'd probably be that, but the camera that I have in mind would probably need more than 10,000, oddly enough.
Really?
But yeah. So it's not just kind of like a regular just plain Jane, oh here's a camera, let's go shoot. It'll be a camera that's like the body alone is like 10,000, and then lenses add up to more than that. So yeah, it's
so it could get you started, the 10K.
Yeah, a lot of times photographers will say like, oh yeah, it's not the tools that matter, which is true to an extent. But does what I do want to create, I want to create like massive prints.
Yeah.
So yeah. So then I can also put money towards the prints. I don't know. But $10,000, let's just go with a really, really dumb, expensive camera.
Love it. Love it. Okay, so if you had $10,000 and you had to give it away, is there a person or an organization, a charity that means something to you that you would give 10K away to?
If it was a charity, I'd give it away to like Alzheimer's Foundation. I feel like, I don't know if there's actually any, you ever done like the 23andMe's and like the health report, and it'll tell you like what you're prone to?
But I
okay. So mine tells me, mine tells me that I'm prone to Alzheimer's, which makes sense due to my grandmother. She had dementia, and like she passed away, like not in a like a great way, unfortunately. But I feel like that could come down to me, and that's also like why I want to create what I want to create now. And why I take so many photos, because I'm going to need them down the road. So I don't know what truth there is to that with the health report, but it's very interesting what you can find out. And it makes sense because it does like track your genomes and like it really goes deep into that. But yeah, I'd say like the Alzheimer's Foundation, just kind of just like a think about me down the road.
Yeah. Love that. Okay. And then our last question, and we end every podcast with this question, is what's your happy? And this can be something just from today that has made you happy. It's trying to reflect on the smaller things during this crazy time in our world.
I actually have the perfect response for that. While I was setting up this little recording station here, my daughter came and she started singing on the microphone. And it's just, it honestly, like I want to tear up just thinking about that. Like I just, it was so cute, and it was, I don't know. It was, that was my happy. Like it was a tiny little moment, but like it was just beautiful.
I love that. So, oh, kids are the best. Love it.
They really are. They really are. She's a poop sometimes, but she's cool with the other half.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm sure that she's going to grow up with some great photos now.
Yeah, I think she's going to hate it after a while. She's like, Dad, stop. I don't need this photograph right now. I was like, I don't need it for you. I need it for me. Thank you.
Right? Well, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with me today and kind of letting us hear all about your passion and your projects and the little isms that make you you. And everyone who's listening, please go check out Noe's Instagram. Follow him there. We'll have all of that information again on the blog. His photos are amazing. They're inspiring. They're beautiful. And thank you again for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right. Well, guys, we will see you on Wednesday for another full episode of 10K Dollar Day, and have a great week. Bye.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?